Focus.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're Selena and
Karen. Good afternoon, everyone.
We're going to talk with you about some plants that give you a lift this week.
And quite controversial ones at that.
Yes, and ones that you might, some of us might be using every day and not really being aware of how they're being used or maybe even abused.
Yes, big topics.
Okay, so have a think. What
buckle up.
What plants do we actually use every day? And I'm thinking there's a plants
in or our parts of plants
in our food that we kind of aren't really aware that they actually, you know, are grown and used every day. So
I'm thinking in the morning, first thing, coffee. There you go, that's from a plant. Tea. You're a tea drinker.
Yep. And maybe adding some sugar.
Oh, of course.
Which is from the sugar cane plant.
Ah, so it is.
And then maybe not all of us indulge, but some of us might be on our breaks not drinking coffee or tea. We might be going outside to have a...
an e-cigarette, perhaps?
Yes, and...
Or maybe, are you thinking smoking illegal substances here, Selena? Both illegal and legal.
I hope not, but we can touch on that too. That's a bit controversial.
Yeah.
So, Karen, I heard that you've been doing some of your research, as you always do, and went to hear a speaker talk about one of the most controversial ones.
Well, yeah, it's a very relevant topic. So I decided to take myself along last week, and I went and watched an advocate debate on the what he calls the big new tobacco issue, that being the legalisation of marijuana. There's going to be a formal referendum on it next year. So alongside our general election, the New Zealand public will also be asked to vote on that topic as well.
And what is the referendum question, or what are we voting on?
Well, I'm not sure exactly. It could be composed of a multitude of questions. But the main sort of umbrella of it is legalisation of marijuana, which is slightly different from decriminalisation, but encompasses that. It's all, So it's a big step, a major step. But did you want to talk more about the actual cannabis plant and get to know the plant? Because we are actually a gardening show.
We need to know
political,
a bit about it. So, okay, I don't grow it myself, but it is a plant that people do grow. And it's an annual that I know.
Yes,
and the interesting thing about this plant is it can be male and female.
Yes, like the avocado is a male and female counterpart.
And I've heard the female plant is the one that is used if the flowers and the, is it the seeds or the...
The buds.
The buds are used in, for their medicinal or their...
Recreational
properties. And the male plant is actually does not have that. So that one is used for fibre and to make paper and, you know, other...
Interesting. Is that, would that be what they call hemp then?
Yes, it's called hemp.
So all hemp plants are the male version of the cannabis plant. Would that
I think that is the correct... way to look at it.
It
all comes under the banner or the name of cannabis. So it's the same plant, just male and female versions of it.
Okay, cool.
That's what I know. Karen, do you know like where it grows, where it's from?
Well, the genus of the flowering plant cannabis is in the family Cannabacea, and there's three recognised species: Cannabis sativa. Supposedly a lot more, but the exact amount of species is actually unknown from my Wikipedia research. Cannabis indica and Cannabis ruderalis. So those are the three main strains. The Ruderalis, interestingly, has the lowest THC level, which is, that is called, THC is short for tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the component in the plant that gives people their psychoactive high feeling.
Okay.
So that would be probably better for those wanting to use, you know, use the plant for other purposes. And it's a warm season annual, so likes warm, dry climates.
Mm-hmm.
Were you wanting to know a bit about the growing, preferred growing conditions for this plant?
Yeah.
Or should we? I've done a bit of research on that, or else there's this. I told you it was a big topic, Selena. Okay, I told you to buckle up. Or else we could talk about what's in the plant, both male and female. Similar. Well, yeah.
Well, they have this oil that is used that people extract, don't they?
Well, let's go down that track.
Okay.
I don't know if we should be encouraging our listeners. Maybe we'll leave it for 2020.
Okay.
But anyway, just so you know, warm, dry conditions, that's where it seems to flourish best. So,
okay.
Yeah. It has the active ingredients in the cannabis plant are actually called cannabinoids. Okay. And there's been 113 identified in the plant. A cannabinoid is anything that reacts with an endocannabinoid system. And this is a biological system that all animals possess.
Okay.
So, not just humans,
right.
Cats, dogs, elephants.
Okay.
So, there you go. Very interesting. So, this is what they do. And they latch on to receptors in that system. And
okay.
then, you know, make the magic happen, whether it's recreational, medicinal, whatever.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
So I've just told you about the psychoactive cannabinoid, which is the THC. The ones that I think you're probably more interested in, Selena, are called cannabidiols. Cannabidiol. I hope I'm saying that right.
Okay.
The scientists out there are probably cringing. But it's a chemical, and it's short-term, this is fine by me, CBD. And this is all the rage out in the health world, the natural health world at the moment. And what they're saying with legalising cannabis and is there's a big focus on bringing these CBDs in because of the health benefits.
Right.
But there's a whole nother political side to that, which we can maybe get into in another session. But this is all what they're saying is, you know, so great about the plant. They're not mentioning that they're concentrating a lot of these cannabis products, so
okay.
that's so much THC that people are going crazy.
Right.
Anyway, so CBD, health benefits, it's been proven to help with seizures, inflammation, nausea, pain, and some mental disorders, including depression.
Okay.
So there's okay. some wonderful health benefits there.
Oh, I've heard it could help with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and those kinds of neurological disorders.
Mm.
I don't know if it's to relieve pain or to sedate or I don't know.
Or affect their nervous system because
yeah.
I think the endocrine, I think it's the endocrine system is all related to
the people that want to legalise marijuana, they're not really looking at the properties like the hemp, the fibre and the making.
Oh, yeah, that's all part of it.
Is it?
That's all, yeah. So I think that's another side to it, which is I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
These sound like, you know, anything that can help our health, to me, is a good thing.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's the ridiculously high THC levels.
Okay, that's the danger.
Which is the danger.
Yeah.
So the ratio seen by many as the ideal is 1-to-1. So you have a plant that'll have, one THC molecule to one CBD molecule. And that's seen as safe, mm-hmm. effective,
yeah.
you know, fine to use. But what the drug advocates like this Ben Court chap that I went and saw last week are talking about, he said the marijuana that they are referring to is in the 2% THC Woodstock weed, is what he called it, of the 60s and 70s, is no longer. And this has been replaced by strains that are a lot higher.
Okay.
And research has shown that the THC content of all tested cannabis flower in the US in 2017 shows that THC is up to 19.6%, which is 10 times
higher. That's a huge increase.
And that's just in the flower. We're
right.
not talking about other products that are now on
so
the market.
So they've been breeding them to be more concentrated.
Yeah. Yeah, so specific strains that are known.
Okay.
Yeah. To blow your mind.
Oh, interesting. But we already have a plant that's legal.
Yes.
That people...
That probably went through a referendum as well at some point.
Yes. And that's tobacco. And tobacco can be grown in New Zealand. It used to be grown down in Motueka.
Yes. Yes. Are they still growing
it? I'm not quite sure if they're still growing it, though I think we do get a lot of our imported cigarettes from the countries that grow it, like Cuba and Brazil and... Indonesia, all those other countries.
And why Motueka? What is it about those places, Selena?
I think because it's quite dry there and sunny.
Okay.
Yeah, and they want the leaves, you cure them, and then they make tobacco, which, you know, you can roll or you can...
snuff. Chew.
But I'm not a smoker, so it's not really... involved with this plant, but I never kind of liked the smell of it anyway. I didn't know why people kind of like it. It's just, I mean, I'm thinking flowers, yes, they smell lovely. And
well,
you know,
I mean, you could always smoke flowers.
Can you?
Yeah, you can pretty much smoke anything, really.
Well, I'd prefer like manuka because, you know, adding it to your food and thing.
And they smoke fish with manuka.
So I'm not really sure what the big buzz is about tobacco, but of course it's the nicotine in tobacco
people
like. And again, like marijuana that's been bred to have more concentration, I think they've done that with tobacco
as
well.
Is that right?
It's not what it used to be. And because it's such a big industry, they also use a lot of sprays on it.
I feel like such a guinea pig.
And
you know?
All those pesticides they use to get the crop growing will obviously go into the plant and affect people. But it's the most preventable cause of death. It is the biggest killer.
Is it really still?
Yeah.
Oh.
And in New Zealand, there's been a big push to have it smoke-free. Yeah. But it's still legal, so...
It was interesting you said that, because at this meeting I went to, they were saying, it's funny how we're frantically trying to push tobacco out, so anyone that even smokes outside a building now is like, oh, tut, tut, tut.
Yes.
And here we are opening up the doors to this highly concentrated drugs.
Buy a plant that from the tobacco family called Nicotania.
Yes.
And it's actually a flower that you can actually buy and grow.
For decorative.
For decorative purposes.
Oh,
and it
cool.
has a lovely scent. I haven't grown it myself. It's an annual and it likes warm conditions. So you can grow tobacco, but not the one you smoke.
Well, you can actually. You just can't sell it.
You just can't sell it.
Yeah.
I think there is a limit to how much you can sell or produce.
I'm going to have to wipe out all my crops then.
15 kilograms per person or something like that.
Okay. Sounds a lot. Did you know that I found out that tobacco is a part of the nightshade family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, because that's where tomatoes and potatoes, that's also part of the nightshade family.
So. I wonder if that's why another thing, since you mentioned those two other vegetables, because tobacco, if you were going to grow it in your backyard, is such a heavy feeder, so it feeds heavily on nutrients in the soil, they say it's advisable to rotate it every 2 years. So you grow it on your plot for 2 years, harvest it, and then for a year give it a break because it just gives that soil a break, gives it time to replenish and any microbes or anything, because apparently tobacco is quite prone to disease as well, I read. And then you could, in the meantime, you could plant like resistant sort of tough plants like corn. Don't know if tomatoes, it depends on the breed, but that was one of the suggestions, and beans and soybeans, so you could put those in just to keep things going. Yeah.
I don't think we'll be growing tobacco as a crop in our community garden.
We don't have any smokers.
No.
Tobacco smokers.
But we do have coffee drinkers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we can't,
tell us about that.
I don't think coffee would do very well in our community garden because it requires a bit of shade and a bit warmer subtropical temperatures.
Oh, so high humidity.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Unlike plants like the cannabis, where it's recommended not to go too high on the humidity.
Okay.
Because yeah. then, well, this could apply to a lot of other plants too. It's just that we were talking about that. Because did you know that if a plant has to evaporate too much, it's put strain on it.
Oh, okay.
And then the stomata, do you remember that word?
Oh, yes, the pores.
The little pores in the leaves.
Yeah.
They start closing up because there's too much water.
Okay.
And then it stunts the plant.
Oh, right. So they like a bit dry.
Yeah.
Conditions.
But obviously not coffee. Coffee is different.
It grows in the rainforest. Brazil is the biggest producer there. And, of course, we use the coffee with the coffee berries. But apparently the leaves can be used as well. I'm not quite sure what, but they have a use as well. However, there is an alternative to coffee that is a native plant, which has the same sort of properties as caffeine.
Are you going to tell me to grind up my dandelion roots again, Selena, to make coffee? What are you talking about here?
Okay, we have a native plant called caramu, which is, in other words, the Latin name is Caprosma robusta.
Oh.
It's a very common plant, very easy to grow and grows everywhere.
Right.
And that also has berries that have that same sort of stimulating effect of caffeine.
Yeah.
The only thing is you can't eat or drink too much of it because it could cause like diarrhea or constipation.
Well, that's the same with coffee. You can't drink buckets of that either because you'll end up on the toilet too. And it's
toxic and huge
anything
doses.
Too much of anything is not recommended.
Yes, apparently those caramu berries do give you a buzz.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, make sure you put a picture on the website, Selena. show us listeners what to look at. We don't want to be getting the wrong berry now.
Oh, yes.
You know? It's not the same berry that the wood pigeons like. No, what's that one?
Mm.
Anyway, that makes them drunk, I was wondering.
Caraca? No.
I think it is. It's a red berry.
We'll have to find out for you, listeners. We don't want to put you wrong.
Put that in our list of questions or email us and let us know.
Okay. But Karen, I'm not a coffee drinker either, so I don't...
I know, you're such a purist.
I don't drink.
It makes me sick.
Smoke, but I do drink tea, and that's our next plant that people might indulge in every day. And actually, tea is one that does not have all these side effects that cannabis and caffeine and tobacco
It has a little bit of caffeine in it, though.
Mm.
Or brown tea.
It depends on whether you have the fresh leaf or the fermented leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, most New Zealanders will get their tea from imported from China and India in the tea bags, right?
Yeah.
But did you know you can actually grow your own tea?
Really? In New Zealand?
Yes.
Okay.
So the tea plant is actually a camellia. It's a strain of camellia plant.
Oh. Okay, that's easy enough to...
Not the camellias that are used for flowers, but a different kind of camellia called Camellia sinensis.
Oh.
And we use the leaves of those. So camellias can grow naturally in Asia, in China, and in the foothills of India. They like a bit of a misty, well-drained, mountainous area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, wow, Auckland has these Waitakere Ranges. What if they were all covered with tea bushes?
And, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Why not?
But actually down in Hamilton, they are trying to grow tea.
And are
they? Making a bit of a success with it down in Hamilton. An entrepreneur went to, I think it was Taiwan, and he brought over some cuttings of the tea plant and gave it a go, see if they would take, and they did really well.
Is that not that Chai Nui brand, is it?
The one that I went to was the Zilong Estate.
Oh, okay. Yes, that sounds familiar.
But maybe two people had the same idea.
Yeah. But if it grows readily, why not?
And it just loves the Waikato soil, so they're making a go of it and producing tea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking because camellias do so well in Auckland as well, it's just a plant that just grows and you don't need to really feed it too much. It just kind of naturalizes really.
Yeah, tends to look after itself.
If we all grew the Camellia sinensis strain, we could all have tea.
Yeah.
In our peaches.
Well, you're a tea drinker. Is it something you're going to consider doing now?
I do actually have one plant in my garden.
Of course you do. Selena's plant. By the way, listeners, Selena's garden is like a zoo of gardens, like everything. You know, oh, yes, I just like text her and say, oh, have you got, oh, yep, I've got that.
A bit of everything.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like a library.
But some of the things I ask you are so random. It's like I'm not expecting. I thought, oh, well, it's worth a shot.
Okay, so I've only got one plant, but it's doing okay. I don't know if I have quite the exact right spot for it.
Yeah, that can certainly make a difference.
However, tea, you do need to dry it out and cure. What do they call it?
Do they curate it?
Curate it somehow to get the best flavour, and I'm not.
So they don't just like air dry it or heat dry it.
There's a process that gets the best out of them. I think you can just do it amateurly, but to get
Feeling a factory tour coming
flavor.
On, Selena.
With the green tea, though, you've just picked the fresh green leaves and just, you know, just boil them or brew them as you would using herbs. So
green tea's an interesting one because you're from, you've got a Chinese family and they're big green tea drinkers. The green tea I buy from the greengrocers is very dense. It's like, I don't know what that's all about. Oh. Like if I make my own teas, like chamomile tea or something, the leaves are a lot lighter and fluffy.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm distracting you.
There's
a
whole art to it, I think.
I think there might be with the green tea, yeah.
But for us common gardeners, herbal teas are pretty good. We just pick the leaves and just chuck them in the teapot and away you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ones I use are lemon balm and...
Nice.
You can use plantain, you can use... the one that you've given me, raspberry leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
There's all sorts of things.
Yeah, but plantain isn't like, I don't think it's the tastiest of
Well, that's
teas.
Why you add a bit of mint to it.
Yeah, yeah.
For a flavour.
Yeah. It's quite nice just to stroll around your garden and just go, what do I feel like? And just pick as you go and, you know, if you're feeling, you know, a bit sort of like, fidgety and restless, you can grab a few chamomile flowers or you could grab some meadow sweet if you're feeling like you've got a headache coming on. Mm. That's really good for that. Chuck that in your tea. It's quite nice. I like to wander around and just pick and choose as to how I'm feeling.
Dandelions.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sure. That's just that's an all-round, one to be had on a daily basis, I reckon, the dandelion.
And tea is a wonderful, relaxing way to, you know, take away the stress.
Read a book, have a cup of tea, do anything.
Lie down.
Make dinner, have a cup of tea, watch TV, have a cup of tea.
And another cup of tea. Why not?
Another one.
Oh, after all your hard work gardening, you deserve a little
great way
break.
To hydrate.
So tea, I am singing the praises of tea. And not just camellia, but all these other herbal things that you can make tea out of. And there isn't... A couple of native plants that make really good tea too, did you know?
Oh, it sounds familiar. You're going to have to provoke the memory on that one,
okay.
Selena. What are they?
One that's really popular is kawakawa.
Oh, yes, of course.
And it has...
The heart-shaped leaf.
Great properties. It has a medicinal properties as well. It can purify your blood.
Yeah. They say that's why it's shaped like the heart. Because it's good for the blood and hence the heart.
This plant, it grows into a bush or a tree.
Yeah.
Mostly in the shade. You can find it in the forest.
Yep.
But you can grow your own.
Yep, I've got some in my yard.
It's got a peppery taste.
And the tea, I think it just adds a nice little bite sometimes, actually. It's quite nice.
So, forget coffee. We've got kawakawa.
And what else is there? What else have you got?
Okay, I've got teetoki.
Oh.
So, both of us know teetoki is one of those common street trees that you find around, planted in Auckland. Got lovely, beautiful, pale green leaves that they kind of look like... Maybe if you've seen a wisteria or has these
Is it a large leaf or a small
it's
leaf?
It's got compound leaves, so it...
So it comes off like a main stalk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think I know the ones you're talking about.
It's a great shade tree, anyway.
Yeah.
So these, I have tasted it in my Rongola class.
Yes.
And it was lovely. It was refreshing. It calmed you down.
And what kind of flavours did it have?
It's kind of that tea flavour. I can't really describe it. It's just this nice,
kind of neutral tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a green tea.
Oh, nice. Any sort of health benefits there?
Just relaxing, helps you cope and calms you down.
Oh, awesome.
You know, a de-stressing tea.
Okay, nice.
So when you're walking around Auckland and you see some teetoki trees you're in the bush, just grab a few leaves and experiment.
Okay, will do. Okay, thanks for sharing that information, Selena. That's awesome. Good to know what to use, especially when it's native. Because we don't want to lose that knowledge.
And I reckon that working in a sort of tea, maybe a tea plantation or even just harvesting leaves, is much better than like working in a tobacco field.
Yeah.
Or like sugar. Oh, let's go into sugar.
Oh, now, how long have we got?
A couple of minutes,
right.
Yes.
Here's a challenge.
I want to mention sugar because it's so common and it's been vilified, but I think there's good reason because it is so addictive and in everything. But originally it was from the sugarcane plant.
Right.
And the sugar cane,
which is a wonderful plant in itself.
It has been growing in my garden. Mum had it and we...
You've got sugarcane as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
It grows really high, like it's a grass. And you cut down the canes and the juice of the canes is really sweet.
Oh.
And that's where we get our sugar from. Mm. So the canes are cut and then they're processed and they become crystals and then they're refined.
Yeah.
And that's where we get our white sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all this sugar cane isn't grown in New Zealand. It's grown... Brazil is one of the biggest countries.
Is that another one of those plants that likes the humid conditions?
It's a subtropical plant.
Okay.
Grows sort of a bit rampant, but we don't grow it in New Zealand, so we just get it imported and the Chelsea Sugar Factory just refines it for us.
It's crazy to think that there's places more humid than Auckland.
Maybe it could
just
grow
on
here.
An offshoot.
It might grow as a weed.
But, I wouldn't mind, you know, having a lick of the nice, yummy, sweet syrup.
The sugar cane juice is really nice if you get it, crush it up and make a drink out of it. It's actually really nice. But the problem with sugar is it's refined so much and we use so much of it and it's so sweet and addictive. It's everything.
Yeah.
And too much of something is really bad.
I'm hearing a recurring theme in today's discussions, actually. Mm. We're humans and we're going to just take the good thing, the one good thing, and we're going to extrapolate it.
Yes. And put it in
Let's
everything.
Let's not even get into poppies.
Okay, another show.
I'm exhausted.
Oh, but alternative, stevia.
Yeah.
So this is a herb that can be used as a sweetener. I think you just take the leaves and use it as...
Basically. I think you either like it or you don't. I don't like stevia. It's something about it. I've tried it. I've got it in my garden still. It's just... I'm a sugarcane lover.
Okay.
It's a problem.
All right.
But, yeah. Great alternative if you're diabetic or, trying to cut back on your sugars, yeah.
Okay, so those are some plants that we may use every day or abuse. And, it's been so...
Use or abuse.
Interesting to find out a bit more about them and how to grow them or not grow them.
Yeah.
So thanks, Karen.
Thanks. You too, Selena.
We'll be back for more next week, gardening things. So listeners, if you have any questions on this topic or you want to drop us a line, please email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com. Yeah, happy gardening, everyone.
Yeah. Hope that helped. See you later.
Bye.